I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Every year, the National Medal of Science is awarded by the President of the United States to those who have made outstanding contributions to science and engineering. It is this country's highest honor for those in those fields. This year, one of the prestigious awards goes to Rice University Professor Richard Tapia. He is a professor of applied mathematics whose work is widely recognized for a technique he helped develop called numerical optimization. Big industries like airlines use it to predict and optimize output. But apart from his own work, this son of Mexican immigrants has also been recognized for bringing more Hispanic and African-American students into graduate-level science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. He was also named one of the 20 most influential leaders in math education by the National Science Foundation. And Professor Tapia is with us now. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've won many awards. And I was just wondering, what was your reaction to this one? Just another thing to put on the shelf?
Or
does it have some special meaning?
No, special meaning, not at all. Okay, so I've won a lot of awards, and you know, and I look at them in a very objective fashion. But this is not a dream come true to me, because I never dreamt that I would win this award. And I said, wow, this takes me to the top. I'm very humbled when I look at the list of the names of people who have won this award. Michael DeBakey, Norbert Wiener. It's just, wow, look at those people. I know that I deserve the feeling, okay, the feeling of being happy and all that thing. Do I deserve to be there? That's different. But I deserve the feeling, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm walking on air. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to try to make it last as long as I can.
Oh, good for you. That sounds very, very, very rational to me. Yeah, let's just go back to the beginning. What drew you to math and science?
Okay, you know, you could say I studied this, and I said, no, but it's not true. I grew up being very good in math. So I took what's called the path of least resistance. I said, I'm going to do something that I'm good at, okay? And even though we lived in a tough part of town, even the tough people in the neighborhood would recognize me for being good in math.
You know, it's interesting because one often does not hear that story with all groups. I mean, particularly African-Americans and Hispanics. Mm-hmm. You know, the stereotype is that it's all about, you know, racing cars, playing basketball, and that the people who do intellectual work are not as esteemed by the community as people who do other things. That was not your experience.
No, I just want to clarify
for folks who don't, just a little bit, you know, your mother came from Mexico to California when she was 11. Your father came when he was 7.
Yeah.
Your father completed high school. Your mom did not.
That's right.
So
the neighborhood, sure.
So it's not like you came from a family of two professors where it was all expected
No, not in any way. In fact, the neighborhood, you know, they recognized me. My brother and I raced cars and did things. And they wanted to give me this recognition. They didn't see it as somebody that was so far away from them. I lived in so many dimensions and did so many things. So in some sense, they were saying, well, we're going to honor and respect this person who's like us. Okay, but that didn't mean that everybody else wanted to be like that. I mean, they respected and they gave me my things. But it wasn't clear until later on that I became a professor that I started pulling maybe community youth into saying, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And I'll tell you, Michelle, one of the things that helps me, I have a talk called Math is Cool. And so I talk to inner city youth and I say, look, you can really use math for neat things. And I use them to study cars. Or I have a talk called Math at Top Speed where we study the mathematics of drag racing. And my son used to BMX a lot, and we do the mathematics in BMX. And so I can say to these kids, math is cool. Math is cool. It isn't that you can be like me, and we can all look at these neat, neat things.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with the winner of the latest National Medal of Science, Rice University Professor Richard Tapia. He's an award-winning researcher and a longtime champion of diversity in education. You were the first, I don't know if you prefer Latino or Hispanic.
It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Know if you care.
Either way.
The first Latino or Hispanic elected to the National Academy of Engineering. That was in 1992. Do you feel, a special responsibility to be a role model?
I do. Yeah? I do. See, being first Hispanic, domestic-born Hispanic elected National Academy to me was bittersweet. The sweet part was that I was the first. The bitter part was that it took so long. Why did it take so long, or why so few of us? Okay, so I have those mixed feelings. So one of the things that we do as role models is we look to youth and they look at us, okay? But I want to be a role model on the other side. The flip side is that the majority community can look at people like us and say quality comes in all flavors. That's the key issue. So when I'm on the National Science Board, I was appointed by President Clinton to the National Science Board. My job there is to do a good job and have everybody on the board say, Richard Tapia is an important member of this committee. Therefore, more people like Richard Tapia should be on this committee.
You know, though, I wanted to ask you about that because you have been lauded equally for your own academic work, as well as for being a profound teacher and a role model and mentor to students. In fact, I believe it is the case that in math and engineering, you are noted as having directed more students from underserved minority groups in higher level mathematics and engineering than anybody else in the country at this point. Rice University professor David LeBron has lauded you for helping students from underserved minorities, underrepresented minorities, let's say that, succeed in these fields. One of your Indian students once wrote in your evaluation that you make us feel equally good. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up is that it has been said that one of the issues for minorities in education is that they are so much expected to and relied upon by students for that kind of emotional support that they sometimes neglect their own work and don't get a chance to do that higher level work. And so I'm curious how you balanced the two.
Those are really good comments. I never intended. That wasn't my plan. My plan was to be a mathematician, as my wife's plan was to be a dancer and go forward. But then I saw things happening, and I saw the way people were sometimes, as you said, you know, they'd try and then they would neglect their own profession. So when I accepted the plan, I said, I'm going to establish myself as a scientist first, and I got tenure very fast. So after I was in a stable position, I said, now I can help so many people that are similarly situated, people who could fall through cracks the way I almost fall through a crack, okay? I am now in a position to help those because I understand the road, I understand them, and I understand what they need. Now, in mathematics, we tend to be sort of self-proclaimed keepers, gatekeepers of quality, and we don't suffer fools. So it's very easy in mathematics for somebody to come back and be kind of destroyed by a professor because of the comments. So a couple comments to somebody, you're very good. Have you considered going to graduate school? Positive comments, okay, has really been very, very, very helpful. So I think I accepted the responsibility because there were not enough people doing it, and I could do it. I could do it.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about balancing responsibilities, if it's okay that I'm asking you. You're also, you know, this is a question we often ask women, right?
Yes.
We don't often ask men, but I think we should ask men. How do you balance your home responsibilities as well? Because you are a husband and a father, and is it acceptable that I point out that your wife is
but of course, has a difficult challenge.
She's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, that she uses a wheelchair, and then your daughter, you lost your daughter in a car accident. So you've had some heavy responsibilities at home as well. Do you mind if I ask how you manage that?
No, of course not. That's important to me. That's who I am. I find that I'm very personal. I mean, I will share my stories with students and with anybody about it because that's who I am. That's how I'm different. Okay. So a lot of my colleagues will say, well, I'm going to talk to this student about science. I'll talk about the things that that person needs to hear, whatever adversity has come up. So when I give talks, like I give commencement addresses a lot, I say, on the left side, I can list all the successes that I have, huge number of successes, okay? But on the right side, all the failures and adversity that I've had to deal with. And that's just as much a part of me as the successes. And, you know, you don't have to publish those. You don't have to put them in newspapers. But having my daughter killed 29 years ago when she was a student at Rice University at the age of 21, then my wife, who, you know, was a dancer and then going to multiple sclerosis, those things are very, very difficult, and that is part of me. So it's when people say to me, how do you deal with those things? I say, I have no choice. I mean, the choice is to give up or keep going. And that's what Jean and I continue to do. Sure, you know, when I think back right now, being here in Washington for this award, I figured that my daughter, Cersei, my late daughter, would have been so happy to have seen this, okay? Now, my mother, who died 3 years ago, I mean, it would have been the greatest thing. Her dream was to come to this country for education. And she had to go to work because she came by herself and nobody to pass her. But the things that I want to share with you is that Jean, in a wheelchair, we came in yesterday. Now, last night, I tried to dress her and give her a shower and help her. And she was very tired, and she slipped on the floor, and I had to call emergency help. And so last night at midnight, we had two or three people, and we're getting Jean off the floor, dressing her. But that doesn't stop us from coming here. And her day is going to be Friday when she meets President Obama. So you don't stop. You keep going. So that every day of my life, I'm aware of the death of Cersei. I'm aware of Jean's limitations in terms of the wheelchair. But I will say that she travels more than anybody in the country in a wheelchair. We've gone to Spain. We've gone to Italy. We've gone to France. We've gone to Mexico. We've gone to Puerto Rico. She is here. And last night she looked at me and she said, Richard, I'm so sorry that I'm causing all these problems. And I said, we have it no other way. And we're going. And after I got her up and I got her dressed, we went out to dinner. And then when we got back, she said, that was a great dinner. I really feel good. And that's what's going to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Whatever the lot is, I live it to the fullest and I live it to the best. And that's what Jean says, day to day. So every day she says, thank you, thank you. I says, Jean, this is something that I'm going to do. You don't have to thank me every day. And she says, but I want to thank you. You take the good and the bad together and make the best out of it. So that's why, in some sense, earlier, Michelle, I said, I don't know if I deserve to be in this category with all these wonderful, fantastic people, but I do deserve the feeling that I have from winning, the feeling of enjoyment, the feeling of being I deserve that. Now, you know, the category itself, it's totally humbling how many wonderful people have won this thing. But it's been my mother. If my mother was alive, she'd say, see, Richard, I told you it was going to happen.
Richard Tapia is university professor at Rice. He is a longtime champion of diversity in education. He's receiving the National Medal of Science from President Obama tomorrow. And he was kind enough to fit us in somehow and join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you, Professor Tapia, and congratulations.
Oh, no, it's been a pleasure. And thank you. Okay, thank you, anybody who will listen to my story.
If you want to learn more about Richard Tapia and the National Medal of Science, please go to npr.org, click on the Programs tab, and then on Tell Me More.